Okay, Olas Perek Yudches Mishnah Vav. So yesterday we talked about how you could actually make your Beit HaPras Tahor, turn it into a parking lot, put on tilings, and so on. Now that actually has to do with also how you would be able to make your way through a Beit HaPras, also using some of these ideas. So suppose you have a stepping stones across a Beit HaPras. So, and you're mahalich b'Beit HaPras al avanim she'eino yochol lahasitan. So these stones are really firmly on the ground, which was the thing we discussed yesterday, that would allow you not to get into the question of whether you were going to be nosei through hasata, the etzem kisa'ora. So if you would do that, you would also not become tamei, because you don't necessarily have to have the entire Beit HaPras covered. All you need is to be going on a path of stepping stones, but they can't be loose stepping stones. Furthermore, you could be on an animal, or you could have a friend carry you over a Beit HaPras. So you're riding on an Adam, on a Behema, as long as Kocham Yafeh. Now, Kocham Yafeh means that they are not going to be wobbling because you're on them. If they're going to be wobbling, so then that means that any movement of the person who slips onto like one of these etzem kisaora is going to be because of your weight, which means that you are the one that was nosei, and therefore you would become tamei. But if the person that's carrying you or the animal that's carrying you is strong, so then you would be tar, because since, remember, we're talking about a sadash nechrash bokever and not a sadash avad bokever, so there's no din of tumas oyel, and all we need to worry about is whether you actually came into contact with it or whether you moved it. And you didn't. It'd be no problem. However, if the paving stones are loose, al avanim shu yachol ha'asita, or al ha'adam v'hal ha'beima shekochan ra, and they shake when you get on them, so that is considered to be moving the ground with the atzomes that you have in them, and therefore you would be tamei. Now, there was also, remember, the same type of idea which related to Eretz Ha'amim, which in a few of the Mishnayos we've talked about the problem of dirt from Eretz Ha'amim, importation of vegetables from Eretz Ha'amim, and the similarity that that has to the dinim of the Beis HaPras. Because over there we also have the chashash, since people in Eretz Ha'amim are not makbid in how it is that they would bury, where it is that they would bury, the goyim were not makbid, nonetheless the atzamot would be metame. So because of that, the gush from Eretz Ha'amim is also mitami. So the question is, can you also rely on this same type of issue in Eretz Ha'amim? Now, let me point out to you that there are really two completely separate dinim of Eretz Ha'amim, and there were two gezeiros on Eretz Ha'amim. One issue in Eretz Ha'amim is the gush of Eretz Ha'amim. It's the actual dirt of Eretz Ha'amim, which can be mitami. But the other is avir of Eretz Ha'amim. So even if you come in into the airspace, there's a separate gezeira on the airspace. The difference between the two gezeiras is that when it comes to the avir of Eretz Ha'amim, so then there's only a din of being teila truma v'kachim. We will not burn truma v'kachim. But on maga of Eretz Ha'amim, of the gush of Eretz Ha'amim, we will actually burn truma v'kachim, because it's considered to be a vadai tuma d'rabbanan. So if that's the case, we also have to make the following distinction. If you're walking around in Eretz Ha'amim, so let's say you land in Eretz Ha'amim with a helicopter on top of a mountain. And it's a rocky mountain, and they even call it the Rocky Mountain. And the reason that it's different is because since it's rocky, they don't bury people in the rocks. Afal Pekin, you would still be tummy. Why would you still be tummy? Because when it comes to the gush of Eretz Ha'amim, where goes there even for soil that's blown through the air, that it would contain also a small etzem kisa'ora. So because of that, as long as there's any kind of earth on it, even if it's just blown topsoil, it's also going to be time of you. But if you land on the seashore and you walk on the seashore or in the actual area where it's a yam, so you're walking in the Great Lakes or something like that, so you're in Biyam, or you're in the Shunit is literally the seashore, There you would be tar, because there's no way to bury someone in that area. And even in the event that there was a etzem, kisa'er, that blew there, it's constantly being washed by the tide. And therefore, it's no chashash of being there. When we talk about shunit, what defines the shunit? What defines the shunit is the place where the tide will reach when the sea is wild. So at its highest level, how far in would the waves reach? So kol makom shayam ole bezapo, when it's really stormy out there, as far in as the water will go, which is usually marked by a different color, that area is considered to be tar from the din of Eretz Amim, because there's no way that there could be an etzem kisa'ora there. Now we run into a very special situation, which is neither Chutz La'aretz nor Eretz Yisrael. And that, of course, is Aram Tzova, which we call Surya. So Surya is an area that Dovid HaMelech was Kevesh, but it did not get the full dinim of Eretz Yisrael because of the fact that in order to be Kovesh and to add to Eretz Yisrael, you first need to be Kovesh every last bit of the Eretz Yisrael that was given to us to be Kovesh, and then you can expand on it. But you cannot expect to add to Eretz Yisrael according to your convenience when you're not ready to be Kevesh, the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. So because of that, for some dinim, we were Koveya, the halacha of Surya, to be similar to Eretz Yisrael. And for some dinim, it's different than Eretz Yisrael. So Legabi, the halacha of Tumas Eretz HaAmim, it does have a din of Tumas Eretz HaAmim, but not if it's Jewish-owned agricultural land. So let's imagine that you own a field in Surya, and this field is right up against the border of Eretz Yisrael. So you do not have to go through an area that is non-Jewish owned in order to get into your field. And you're able to go directly from your field in Eretz Yisrael, from the road in Eretz Yisrael, into your field in Surya. So what's the din over there? Hakonez Sadeh b'Surya, which is directly against the border of Eretz Yisrael, and it's smuchal Eretz Yisrael, so then im yocholi kanes la b'tahara, if you're able to go directly from your field into that field, you don't need to cross any area of Surya that is owned by Goyim, then the whole thing is tar. Because even though there is a gzeir of Tumas Eretz HaAmim, Chazal were never gezer in a case where it's a straightforward continuation of Eretz Yisrael, and Chayevet B'Ma'asrotu B'Shvi'it, also we give the dinim. That was a halacha that we were metaken, the chachomim were metaken, that things that grow in Surya, they gave it a din of growing in Eretz Yisrael to be mechuyev in Meiser and in Shemitah. Ve'imei no yocholi kanes labetara, but what about if you own a field in Surya, but in order to get there, you have to travel a block on a road in Surya to turn into your field? Then you cannot be nichnas to your field, then that field has the full din of Tumas Eretz HaAmim, and there's no way to get there without exposing yourself to Tumas Eretz HaAmim. So because of that, the Chachamim were metakein Tumas Eretz HaAmim on your field. But it's still going to be chayiv in Meiser and Shvias, because the takona of Meiser and Shvias is true about the entire Eretz of Surya, even if it is Tameh be'Eretz HaAmim and it's in the place which is considered to be like Chutz La'aretz. And now there's one additional halacha, which is also similar to the dinim of Tumas Eretz HaAmim and to the dinim of the Tumah of the Beit HaPras. And that is a din that is true even in Eretz Yisrael, just like Beit HaPras is. And that is somebody who buys or enters into a home that was owned by a goy in Eretz Yisrael. So midurot of Ovdei Kochavim, any place where Levit Kochavim lived in Eretz Yisrael, we were gozer tuma on. Because since they will often bury any type of miscarried fetus, and since they often get their girlfriends pregnant, and they will abort, bedafka, so they bury the abortions in their home. So because of that, if you buy a house from a goy, it's tame. And you're going to have to, as we're about to define, you're going to have to go through a whole process of checking the house and making sure that there's no tumah there. So kama yishev betochan v'yet tzarich b'dika, how long would it have to have been a house that belonged to a goy, that he lived there, that it's b'chayiv you to check the whole house, which we'll describe how to do that checking later? 40 days. Why 40 days? Because we don't assume that he brought his pregnant girlfriend in there. When it's in his new house, he got his girlfriend pregnant. So if it's less than 40 days, so then we don't have to worry about abortions because it's not doesn't have a din of tamei meis until at least 40 days. This is true even though he has no woman with him. He's not married because he brings in women. So afal pi she'enimo isha, we still have to be concerned that he got a girlfriend pregnant. Now, the one thing that we're making on this is that ima ya eved o isha, misham rimoto eno tzarech bedika. So if you have the eved of a ben Yisrael who works in that house, or you have a woman, a Yisraelite, who works in that house and keeps her eye on what's going on, and she can tell you that nothing like that happened in the house, so then we do not require bedika, because since the entire din is a din derabbanan, we're somech on the shmira even of an eved and an isha. Gentlemen, I just want to point out to you a very important thing in terms of our making plans for how to do this. We set out to finish Shas properly by doing all of the Mishnayos that we didn't have a chance to do as part of Gemaras. In this time that we started from Brachas, we have done 25% of those Mishnayos, which is wonderful, just by doing the Goyim, just by doing Kalim and Oyalis. So we finished 48 Mishnayos, Prokim of Mishnayos, out of the less than 200 Prokim that are outside of Shas coverage. So we're doing good, and we're on schedule for a completion of Shas properly. So the only issue is now whether, in fact, when we finish this, when we finish Oyalis, should we continue with our path and do negoyim, particularly because of the relationship of negoyim v'ayalai, so we just did the parshas of negoyim, so it's like really exciting, you know. So I would think there might be some excitement for that, or shall we take Barnea's suggestion that we move on to Shvias? And if we do move on to Shvias, shall we do the Mishnayos of Shvias first, continuing on with our Mishnah, and then determine whether we want to flip to the Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi of Shvias is quite long. It's close to 90 daf, and it's a very, very big Masechet. It's absolutely shocking to me to remember that the first time I learned Shvias was a yovel ago with Reb Simcha Zissel. It's actually seven Shmitas ago. It's a full yovel ago that we had a 5 o'clock in the morning Seder in which we bet, will I make him crazy before he makes me normal? And I got I got him to join me for a 5 o'clock in the morning Yerushalmi Shvias schedule Seder. So he had to admit I probably made him crazier than he made me normal. But anyway, it's astounding to think how quickly the time flies. But anyway, it's a big, big Masechet. And that's the question. So please
that
note.
That would mean that we would be learning it all during Shvias year, and that means a significant delay.
No. If we start it now, we won't be learning it all during Shvias year. We'll be learning it in advance of the Shvias year. So I want to suggest that we might want to consider finishing the Mishnayos so that we finish the full set of the 200 Mishnayos that we need to, 200 Prokim that we need to finish, not just 50 of them. Or 60 of them by the time we finish the Mishnah Shvias. And perhaps during Shemitah itself, we could be Yosek in the Yerushalmi of Shvias. So you might want to think these things over because we're getting close to completion of Ayalais, Baruch Hashem. And I just wanted everybody to realize how very much Baruch Hashem we've been able to achieve here. Even though it seems like it's literally like they talk about a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow, but it's really, it's progress. So never be mezalzel in Pruta Pruta Mitztarefet Baruch Hashem. Okay, so you said it was Mishnah.
I'm sorry, Rebbe, you just said that. I have to say something.
Okay.
I just spoke with Jay Taffel, Shlomo Taplin in Baltimore, who was in Yeshiva's care, and we started something called Yomis. I think it was Rebbe's idea. Everybody learned something every day. So this one did a Perek of Navi, this one did a Mishnah, this one did a Daf. And he just told me a few weeks ago, you can't imagine how many times I've been, I think he said he just had his 45th Siyam on the Maseches
Megillah. Yes.
Because of the Yomis, he's learned so much in his life. It's just a little bit every day to make sure you did your piece before you go to sleep. That's the key to his success. That changed his life, the Yomis.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, I think a lot of people, that Yomis was made a big difference for hundreds of people throughout the years. Yeah, Baruch Hashem.